Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Today you're going to find out how blueberries protect against inflammation, Texas Women's University. That's important because so many different illnesses have inflammatory cytokine storms, lots of inflammation as a cause, published in the Journal of Medicinal Food. But that's only one of many articles we're going to be relating to you, including the relationship between vitamin D deficiency and gestational and postpartum depression, Federal University of Rio de Janeiro, down in Brazil, and how lifestyle intervention is beneficial for most people with type 2 diabetes, Wake Forest. We also have depression doubles the risk of death after a heart attack and angina, Intermountain Medical Center Heart Institute, and more. Also today, I'll be sharing my own commentary on some issues that are important, including Moderna, and they're now going after babies and infants to give them vaccines for COVID. I will have an article ready tomorrow. I will give some overview comments today, and I'll open our forum for you to talk about your experience or your understanding or your views about should we be vaccinating babies, children, young people, when there is no scientific evidence anywhere in the world that they're at risk of COVID as any form of statistical significant number. They're like over 99% protected. A lot of other things kill them, but not this. So what are your views? I'd like to hear about that. I consider just unmitigated greed and a lack of bioethics. 888-874-4888 is our number for you to call in. 888-874-4888. Also today, I'm going to share a video by a Dr. Anne Michalski. She will be one of the speakers on World Freedom Rally and Freedom Alliance Day coming up this Saturday at 1 o'clock. I'll also be participating. I can't be in Union Square at 14th Street and I think it's 14th and 5th Avenue on Saturday, but I'll be there with a Zoom, so people will be able to go to Zoom and watch it, and you can watch my presentation, or you'll hear the audio. There'll be a live feed for the audio, and I'm hitting all the buttons on this Freedom of Choice rally. We need everyone who can get there to go there. We need to show peacefully, intelligently, and most importantly, I've asked the organizers, let the average person get up and have a 3-minute comment session on what they feel has happened during COVID that is wrong or right, and what they feel is important going forward about trusting the very institutions and Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates and Wikipedia and Facebook. Trusting these organizations have been so wrong so often with deadly consequences. In fact, I'm going to share you one example of this today. It does not come from me. It comes from Glenn Greenwald. Glenn wrote an article. I'm going to share that article with you today about why he feels that you should be very concerned about trusting any of these people because they've lied so often. And I mean, for years they've been lying. Well, shouldn't we get ahead of this? You know, when Bill Gates comes out and tells Tech Monitor that artificial intelligence is the new holy grail, does he also ask, well, should we ponder what could be the potential costs of this? So we're going to deal with that if time permits. Also, if you don't think some things are happening around the world as far as climate, on the 4th of this month, the New York Times reported Iceland had 18,000 earthquakes over days. As of today, it's over 50,000 earthquakes in the tiny little island of Iceland. That portends one major potential disaster. So something's happening. And also Greenland. How did big media outlets so often independently confirm And this is not Greenland, this is Glenn Greenwald. The Washington Post media spread error about Trump's Georgia call shows the deceitful playbook first invented to undermine Trump and promote Russiagate. Now, I don't care about Donald Trump at all on any level, or his children, or anyone in his administration. But what I like even less is a coup. And I'll share Glenn Greenwald's comments verbatim and then tie that in to why you should not trust the mainstream media. Because if the mainstream media is willing to lie consistently, pathologically, for political and ideological gain, then what is to prevent them from lying about COVID or your need for a vaccine or don't do anything until you get the vaccine? And look at all of our rights and freedoms that have been usurped by these same pathologically dysfunctional organizations. I don't read the Washington Post. I don't read the New York Times. I don't listen to the mainstream media. I don't buy their clothes, shop in their stores, use their banks. I don't eat their food. I trust none of them. Because the so-called best and brightest, and they are highly educated, they are very intelligent, they're more than capable of understanding right from wrongs, doing good research, then why have they abandoned all of those virtues to be nothing more than lapdog propagandist pimps? And that's what I consider all mainstream journalists to be. I make no exception. And if you are an exception, shame on you for not going out in front of the New York Times if you're an honest, legitimate, non-objective or objective reporter and holding a sign saying, you can trust what I write because I have not self-censored or been told what to write. I'm not guided by some ideology. I can't say the same for all the other employees who do my work. Have you seen such a person? No, and you won't. But we'll hear about it on today's program. So we have a lot to share. And again, all of it is meant to empower you. Sometimes that bitter pill you have to take is to help purge the system, to detoxify the mind, detoxify the body, detoxify the belief systems, so that you open yourself up to a real cleansing and then rejuvenation. So we start with blueberries. How about that? In a recent study, researchers at Texas Women's University investigated the usefulness of polyphenols. Those are the really powerful nutrients, what are called phytonutrients that are in the blueberry, in controlling or reducing inflammation. Now, we know that induced by oxidative stress, inflammation, especially if it becomes persistent, is closely linked to the development of many chronic illnesses, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, inflammatory bowel disease, rheumatoid arthritis, cancer, dementia, Alzheimer's, fibromyalgia. So to turn off the inflammation in the body is very important for your longevity and preventing or reversing disease. I remember only two times my entire athletic career, I've been an athlete since seventh grade, that in varsity basketball and college and running and race walking, biking, triathlons, biathlons, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And one day in the 1990s, I went for a race, and I was going to go out at about a 5-minute pace for the first mile. And then how I felt, I'd bring it down. But I did an 8-minute pace. I don't even train at 8-minute pace. I train at 6-minute pace. So this was just something I couldn't understand, and I got slower with each mile. So I immediately went in and had my blood drawn. I did a whole series of tests, and there was nothing there, nothing. Viruses, bacteria, adrenal exhaustion, nothing was out of the ordinary, but something was. And it happened again the following week and the week after. So then I did a deep meditation, and realized what was wrong was I had exhausted with all that I do, not just the exercise, but the energy and all my counseling, the lectures, lecturing sometimes twice a day for 5 years, running health support groups every night for years, having our college, which granted high-level quality accredited degrees through Edison State College with the School of Visual Arts, where I was at the time teaching. Got the first holistic curriculum, 25 different classes taught in a high school because we had so many participants, faculty of 25. But it was every night. I had to be there every single night. I would sometimes leave there at 11 o'clock at night. I start my days early. What was missing? Qi, essential body energy, something that cannot be measured, not by traditional means. So I went down to the Healing Springs Ranch where my brother lived, and I said, I'm just going to hang out here. Nothing, not going to do anything. I did my daily radio show, but nothing else. Didn't exercise, just communed with nature. It took 3 months, and then my qi came back. But then I balanced it, and the key to health and life is balance. Anything you're doing, even good things you're doing, if that good thing you're doing takes you out of balance, then it becomes a negative. You just don't know how it'll manifest. If you have all your work taking your time, then you have no time for relationships. Then your relationships suffer. So you have to do everything in balance. That was the lesson I learned. And since that time, I've done exactly that. Live in balance, not over-exercising, not racing 50 times a year, which I was doing at that time, including 7 marathons in 1 year, and an ultramarathon, and a 50K. And so now everything is done in balance. And the second one was realizing that oxidative stress from exercise creates inflammation. And where you're using the greatest amount of pressure in the body is where the oxidative stress damage will occur. In my case, it was in my ankles from all that pressure, pounding the roads, sometimes training 100 miles a week. So what did I do? I simply pulled it back, rested, and took what I know, created a protocol for myself, and boom, in a month, back to normal. Once again, your weakest point is frequently not known until you see that it's out of balance, in which case you have to rebalance it. So that's what we have to do for everything. I mean, everything in life. So just remember, any time that you're doing something to excess, if it's physical, you're going to create oxidative stress, and that creates inflammation. So what in this case shows you can do is take blueberries. Well, I take a pint of blueberries every day. That's just one of the pints I take. I take about 7 pints of different berries every day. But blueberry polyphenols can help treat rheumatoid arthritis, for example. And rheumatoid arthritis is an autoimmune and chronic inflammatory condition that destroys joints and causes disability in older adults. Well, glucosamine sulfate and chondroitin sulfate help rebuild that. So you have no idea how many people would have had to have surgery or walk around taking pain meds, COX-2 inhibitors like Vioxx, which was deadly, because they didn't know that you could rebuild. You could get new synovial fluid going into the joints, so your joints no longer are like two bones rubbing against each other. Something as simple as emulsified cod liver oil on an empty stomach, a tablespoon in the morning. Remarkable improvement in people with rheumatoid arthritis. But also you have to stop what is causing inflammation. Now your french fries are going to cause inflammation. Alcohol causes massive inflammation. Just social drinking causes massive, massive inflammation. So when you see an ad on television, you see someone happy and they're at a party and they're going, you know, a famous ball player or famous astronaut. You know, what makes them famous? Well, they were an astronaut or a ball player. But now they're endorsing a particular alcohol as if somehow we should all go ahead and follow suit because they're doing it. Well, they're getting a check, an endorsement check to do it. We're not. But we are getting about a dead cells, 1 million of each, brain, heart, liver, kidneys. Inflammation at a massive scale speeds up the aging process, speeds up the disease process. You have the accumulation and proliferation of fibroblasts like synovial phagocytes. These are non-immune cells that make up the membranous tissue that lines joint cavities, and they're involved in the destruction of cartilage, commonly observed in rheumatoid arthritis. On the other hand, we now know that there's anti-inflammatory properties of polyphenols derived from fruits and vegetables hence juicing vegetables, juicing fruits. Watermelon juice with lemon is one of the best juices you can take for this. Now, if you want to make it a little more exotic, put raspberries, blueberries, watermelon, lemon all together. That's a super anti-inflammatory. Everyone who has cancer, I'd have them taking that, plus additional lots of potassium. So if you want to turn off the inflammation in your body, berries, all the berries. So I make sure I get my berries every day, either eat them fresh, organic, organic frozen, a concentrate, or powder. The most powerful is the powder, but every one of them helps, okay? So that should help a lot of people. Also, a new study showed that when you don't have enough vitamin D, and most people don't, that can contribute to gestational and postpartum depression. So if you're depressed, make sure that you have a knowledgeable pediatrician or a nutritionist who can help guide you into the amount of vitamin D you take so that you help limit this. And Wake Forest Medical Center found that, yeah, lifestyle intervention is extremely beneficial for people with type 2 diabetes. And once again, you know the routine, exercising twice a day for about 45 minutes and vigorously. Don't do a junk exercise, which is if you're walking or jogging so slow that you're not really increasing the circulation, then you're not helping yourself. So diabetes shortens your lifespan, makes you more susceptible to heart attacks and strokes. So just make sure that you're eating a plant-based diet, having your olive oil, coconut oil, flaxseed oil, hemp oil in your diet on a regular basis. And from the Intermount Medical Center Heart Institute, this is presented from the American College of Cardiology's annual scientific session. They said depression doubles the risk of death after a heart attack and angina. So whatever you are doing to keep your heart healthy, and you know that protocol, then by all means make sure that you're also engaging in antidepressive qualities. One last little thing from the National Chemical Laboratory in India. There is a substance that's called wild mint. It's a perennial flowering plant. Wild mint leaves and essential oil are also traditionally used as natural medicines, and they're a great remedy for peptic ulcer, diarrhea, bronchitis, jaundice, skin diseases, and liver inflammation. And also they're antiseptic. And they have a very high antioxidant activity in the wild mint. And this is what they found. This was published in the Journal of Ayurvedic and Integrative Medicine. They found that wild mint prevents elevation of your blood sugar spikes after meals. Why not put some wild mint into the meal itself? It makes very savory salads. And also, or take it right after a meal if you're pre-diabetic or diabetic. We are 19 minutes into our program, and we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear from just one of the individuals of the thousands, tens of thousands of physicians and scientists around the world who are stating that we have got to be honest and transparent, open and willing to discuss in a civil manner, not one that attacks the person that you're talking about or with, about COVID. I think you'll find what this person has to say extremely informed. This is a board-certified family practice physician. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Across this island and across the world, there are millions of people who are awakening to the understanding that this current health crisis, this so-called pandemic, is a Trojan horse which has been used to introduce a new era for humanity. The Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, Building Back Better, whatever catchy, chirpy name the bankers and billionaires are calling it, it's not good for you and me, for the ordinary people. Relationships between individuals, families, communities, governments and nations will change fundamentally. They're coming for you, your family, your job, your savings, your home, your pension, your culture, your traditions, your freedom, your very way of life. Unless we unite to resist, we do not consent. This is not a conspiracy theory, but the outworking of a scheme written by people who hate the human race. Agenda 21 has been implemented now and will come to pass unless we unite to resist. We do not consent. Last year, a seasonal respiratory virus of high infectivity but low pathogenicity passed across the world and sadly took with it people who were very old, who were already very sick, and most of whom were in the last months and years of their lives. There were younger people who died. May God have mercy on their souls and comfort their families and friends. But in terms of the overall all-cause mortality, there was nothing to see. Seasonal viruses do this every year. They have done since time began, and they will continue to do so no matter what humans do. In 2020, no country was there a significant increase in overall mortality compared to the past. Ireland in this pandemic actually increased her population by a couple of percent. If we take away the track and trace system, calling for the first time in medical history a case, someone who's perfectly well, who has no symptoms, and which is going to cost the UK government £37 billion over 2 years. I don't even know what £37 billion looks like, what it would buy. Would it be 2 hospitals? Would it be 5 hospitals? Would it be 1,000 nurses' jobs? I have no idea. But these PCR tests measure nothing. They are an illusion to create a crisis. If we take away the fact that the WHO changed the rules, changed the way in which we measure disease impact by saying that any death within 28 days of a positive PCR test was due to COVID, and even without a positive test, if you had symptoms, shortness of breath, fever, the things that people die from every day, that was COVID too. If we take away the hourly, incessant misery porn in the legacy media, dolefully recounting the figures and scrutinising the anguished last hours of those who were taken, and the po-faced politicians with crocodile tears pretending to care. If we take away the psychological abuse of populations across this planet, using applied behavioural psychology designed to keep them in terror. If we take away the signage, the arrows, the one-way systems, walk, don't walk, the yellow notices on every flat surface, the sanitisation, the masks, all the paraphernalia of this neurolinguistic programme and mental abuse which tells us that we are the biohazards, we are a danger to our families and friends. If we take all this away, there is nothing to see. The emperor has no clothes. But of course there was something to see, wasn't there? Viruses don't make laws, governments do. But what we did see, what we saw, was removal of our most basic and inalienable rights. To work, to earn, to move, to associate, to kiss, to hug, to go to church, to bury our dead with dignity, to live our lives as we see fit. We saw the removal of our right to speak, to protest, to object to this tyranny. We saw censorship, character assassination and banishment of scientists and professors who dared to offer an alternative narrative. We saw our children and young people locked up, denied their education, the right to play outside, to live their precious young lives, however they and their parents saw fit. We've seen millions of the poorest and most marginalised people on the planet pushed to starvation and death because of the economic fallout, because poverty kills. I've worked as a GP throughout this past year, and I've not seen people gasping for breath from COVID, but people utterly abandoned by their health system. People in despair from loneliness, from isolation, from fear. People who haven't seen their families and loved ones for months and whose lives are infinitely poorer as a result. I've seen delayed cancer diagnoses. People having treatments cancelled just willy-nilly. People dying waiting for elective procedures. People in pain who can't get help. Estimates vary, but it's now assumed that between 200,000 and 500,000 extra deaths will occur in the area covered by the NHS. And that's assuming that this lunacy of lockdown stops. And a similar figure obviously adjusted for the population in the south of Ireland. The cure is much, much worse than the disease. It's time to move on. This was not about health. It never was about health. It's smoke and mirrors. There are around 30 published papers internationally showing that right across the globe, lockdowns don't work. And if they do, why are we still locked up a year later? The health and economic fallout from this will cost millions of lives, and it will end the way that we live now forever. It's over. The lie has been exposed. We must stand together. We do not consent. On the 20th of March, there's going to be a worldwide rally for freedom. World Freedom Day. Across this beautiful planet, people like you and me will stand together to say enough is enough. We do not consent. Here on the island of Ireland, people from every part, from all political backgrounds, from all faiths and none, from every county and province will stand together to say no. Ulster says no, but so does Munster, Leinster, Connacht, England, Scotland, Wales, Germany, Holland, Peru, right across the world. We will stand together to withdraw our consent. Go to www.freedom-alliance.org for resources to help you through all of this. And join us in the Rally of Freedom. I look forward to seeing you there.
We are not a few. We are many. We are the silent majority. Let me give you a few insights into what this is really about, and it's only been about. This is from today. Pfizer sees, quote, significant opportunity after pandemic to hike prices 900% for annual COVID shots. Recent comments by a senior figure at pharmaceutical giant Pfizer have highlighted how the company is looking to turn COVID-19 into a longer-lasting pillar of its business model, including dramatically increasing prices for what could become annual booster shots, as well as the possible effects of a third dose. That's just part of one article. It's all about greed. It's all about money. And the people who are the greediest and are the ones who control policy. Quote, this is from the New York Times. Moderna begins testing its vaccine in babies and young children. Now, when I read the article here, I was surprised because I've read all the scientific articles that are available worldwide, and children and babies, young people 18 and under, are virtually at no risk. You will have a handful die out of 60 million in the United States. You'll have more die from drowning. So why would you create a vaccine except that now you know with the help of Anthony Fauci and the media, you can scare parents into making sure their children are vaccinated, or you can say that the vaccines become mandatory, the COVID vaccine for children, for their own good, of course. There is no science backing it up, none. That is the danger when a society trusts the opinion leaders and policymakers to make these decisions. There is no precautionary principle involved. I've checked the science, but they're still doing this. Also, as of this morning, 20-plus countries suspend the use of AstraZeneca vaccine, but regulators, the people who are part of the profit centers, insist, quote, the benefits outweigh the risks. How do you know? You will not have the results for at least 1 to 2 years. So why are you saying now the benefits outweigh the risks? We have seen how many people have been, by the government's own statistics, have died. Also, what do we say about the children's suicide is becoming an international epidemic amid restrictions, the pandemic life, doctors warn. This is from the Foundation for Economic Education. Quote, the damage we're inflicting on children is too devastating to be waved away in the name of public health. It's quickly becoming an emergency in its own right. So more people, more young people are dying from suicide than coronavirus. Why is that not an issue? So this is just some of what we're dealing with today. But I want to share something a little more specific concerning this. And it also deals with historical lying and how can we trust anyone who historically has lied if they're also now telling us we should trust them, we should believe them. And that's just absolutely wrong. And by the way, along the way, how many people trusted that Biden's administration would be different? But now, as of today, from the 21st Century News Service, quote, Biden White House working with Silicon Valley to censor vaccine criticism. As reports of problems regarding the new experimental COVID vaccines continue to mount internationally, officials in the United States have been working behind the scenes to try and censor any dissent against the official party line on COVID policy and vaccine efficacy, safety, and distribution. So they're setting up secret panels and working together to go after anyone who challenges any aspect of what they're doing. Well, that should tell us a lot. And also, understand something. They can use any agency to track you. They can call you a domestic terrorist for simply being a parent who had a vaccine-proven damaged child, won your case through the Justice Department that handles those cases, and yet now you're a domestic terrorist for having dare you tell the world about your daughter who died from taking Gardasil. You can't do that. That upsets our agenda. That might make people think. Let me explain part of this. This is how, according to John Whitehead and Nisha Whitehead, his wife, how the FBI is identifying and tracking and rounding up dissidents. Now, mind you, we're talking about there's all forms of dissidents. And it's called a data bit by data bit. They're building their own electronic detention camps. With every new smart piece of smart technology that you buy, and you see them advertised constantly, every new app that you download, every new photo or post that you share online, you're making it that much easier for the government and its corporate partners to identify, track, and eventually round you up if they choose to. Sane or sinner, it doesn't matter because we're all being swept up into that massive digital data dragnet that does not distinguish between those who are incorrect of wrongdoing and are correct in wrong and not doing any wrong, meaning they're innocent, or those who are criminals. You're all treated the same. This is what it means to live in a suspect society. The government's efforts to round up those who challenge the environmental actions by corporate America for their polluting, challenge anything going wrong in governmental agencies, you're now the enemy. And so when you rely upon a selfie or social media post or location data, you're in effect getting those geotag photos, facial recognition, surveillance cameras, and crowdsourcing, and government agents are compiling a massive data trove on anyone and everyone who may have been anywhere in the vicinity of, let's say, an environmental demonstration. The amount of digital information is staggering. 15,000 hours of surveillance and body-worn camera footage, 1,600 electronic devices, 270,000 digital media tips, at least 140,000 photos and videos, and about 100,000 location pings for thousands of smartphones. And that's just what we know. So you have to understand that get out of their game. Get off of their media sources. Stop using Facebook. Walk away from Wicked Wikipedia. Do this now. All right? And if you do, then you're taking a step towards freedom. And finally, this is from Glenn Greenwald. Now, it's based upon what has happened that is provable in a court of law. It is not based upon politics or ideology. Here's what Glenn Greenwald, one of the world's greatest journalists, has to say. How do big media outlets so often independently confirm each other's falsehoods? The Washington Post media spread error about Trump's Georgia call shows the deceitful playbook first invented to undermine Trump and promote Russiagate. There were so many false reports circulated by the dominant corporate wing of the U.S. media as part of a five-year-long Russiagate hysteria that in January 2019 I compiled what I called the 10 worst, most embarrassing U.S. media failures on the Trump-Russia story. The only difficult part was that the article was choosing which among the many dozens of retractions, corrections, and still uncorrected factual falsehoods merited inclusion in the worst 10 list. So stiff was the competition that I was forced to omit many huge media Russiagate humiliations, and thus, to be fair to those who missed the cut, had to append a large dishonorable mention category at the end. that the entire Russiagate storyline itself was a fraud and a farce is conclusively demonstrated by one decisive fact that can never be memory-holed, namely the impetus for the scandal and subsequent investigation was the conspiracy theory that the Trump campaign had secretly and criminally conspired with the Russian government to interfere in the 2016 election, primarily backing into the inboxes of the DNC and Clinton campaign chief John Podesta. And a grand total of zero Americans were accused, let alone convicted, of participating in that animated conspiracy. The New York Times May 2017 announcement of Robert Mueller as special counsel stated explicitly that his task was to, quote, to oversee the investigation into ties between President Trump's campaign and Russian officials, and specifically, quote, investigate any links and or coordination between the Russian government and individuals associated with the campaign of President Donald Trump. The related secondary media-created conspiracy theory was that the Kremlin clandestinely controlled the U.S. political institutions by virtue of sexual or financial blackmail over President Trump, which they used to compel him to obediently obey their dictates. Well, it turned out none of that was true. But that all came to crashing down on their heads in April 2019 when Mueller announced that he was closing his investigation without charging even a single American with the criminal conspiracy that launched the entire spectacle, criminally conspiring with the Russian government to interfere in the election. Again, while Mueller, like so many Washington special counsels before him, ended up snaring some operatives in alleged process crimes committed after the investigation commenced, lying to the FBI, obstruction of justice, but nothing about Trump or anyone else. If that were not sufficient to make every person who drowned the country in this crazed conspiracy theory feel enormous shame, and it should have been, the former FBI director's final report explicitly stated, quote, the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election, end quote. In many cases, the report went even further than that, quote, did not establish formulation to state that there was no evidence of any kind found for many of the key media conspiracies. So, no convictions, no crime. But that meant that all of the talking heads who talk with such passion and conviction and self-righteous indignation, the Elmer Gantries of our time, were all wrong. And because they're highly educated, and because they have access to all the world's information and media, including intelligence sources, then from my personal perspective, they should never be watched or listened to again or read again, ever. They have betrayed the sacred confidence that is given to journalists to be the pillar that stands firm against being complicit with government or big business or special interest in lying or deceiving the American public. They participated in lies, pathological behavior. So here's the issue. They were wrong for 5 years about that. I'm not even going to get into who they should have written about, Hillary Clinton and others, who were wrong and were behind all this. But now these same organizations, these same talking heads who were wrong about weapons of mass destruction, wrong about Syria, wrong about Libya and Gaddafi, wrong about Venezuela, wrong about Ukraine and what really happened, wrong about all these other interventions that they supported, we should now trust them that they're right, telling the truth about COVID and the vaccines. You'd have to be a special type of person living in denial to accept that kind of behavior from a John Brennan, the former CIA director, and Clapper. Clapper lied before Congress. That's a proven fact. So I'm just giving you that as background. So what we're doing is we're taking the people who are honest, who have never lied, who are regular straight-shooting independent scientists, Nobel Prize winners, and we're now casting this as if they are not to be trusted. They're to be destroyed. And Wikipedia can do that. and Facebook and Twitter and Google can censor you, and they can take down all your videos and anything you've done that is honest and legitimate. So how do you attack the whole world of scientists, reporters, journalists, and citizens who are on the right side of truth, and everything in the corporate media and the government and its agencies and presidents and advisors are all on the wrong side? I have never seen such a clear example of a positive and negative duality in my life. So when you make the wrong decision, you support one against your own best interest. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to hear from one of the people that, had he been invited to talk while he was still alive, but he wasn't, there'd be a whole different outcome on this. Dr. Curry Mullis, who won the Nobel Prize in 1993 for discovering the PCR, and you'll hear what he has to say about not using the PCR to diagnose anything, back in a moment.
I want to ask this to Curry. How do they misuse PCR to estimate all these supposed free viral RNAs that may or may not be there?
I think misuse PCR is not quite... I don't think you can misuse PCR. No, the results, the interpretation of it. See, if you can say, if they could find this virus in you at all, and with PCR, if you do it well, you can find almost anything in anybody. It starts making you believe in the sort of Buddhist notion that everything is contained in everything else, right? I mean, because if you can amplify one single molecule up to something that you can really measure, which PCR can do, then there's just very few molecules that you don't have at least one single one of them in your body, okay? So that could be thought of as a misuse of it, just to claim that it's meaningful. But the real misuse of it is that you don't need to test for HIV. You don't need to test for the other 10,000 retroviruses that are unnamed also in the subject. See, somebody that's got HIV generally is going to have almost anything that you can test for, because they have definitely been... HIV is a fairly rare virus. There's only 1 million of us out of 250, 300 million people in America that have that virus. So you have to get around. Either your mother had to have it and pass it to you, or you have to really be paying a lot of attention to people that do have it and paying only attention to them and get a pretty good chance of getting it that way. It's hard to get it. But if you have it, there's a good chance you've also got a lot of other ones, because you've been in the market for, it's been possible for you to get a lot of, to test for that one and say that has any special meaning is what I think is the problem. Not that PCR has been misused. It's like,
is it an estimation?
It's not an estimation. It's a really quantitative thing. It tells you something about nature and about what's there, but it allows you to take a very minuscule amount of anything and make it measurable, and then talk about it in meetings and stuff like it is important. See, that's not a misuse. That's just sort of a misinterpretation.
Even after all PCR, this quantitative PCR, that if you just get down to a basic virological count, it's still 1 in 1,000 to 1 in 10,000. HIV in 1 to 1 in 1,000. 1 in 500 to 1 in 1,000 T cells.
It is. No, there's very little of what they call HIV, and what's been brought out here by Philpott and Isai already. The measurement for it is not exact at all. It's not as good as our measurement for things like apples. An apple is an apple. You know, you can get something that's kind of like, if you got enough things that look kind of like an apple and you stick them all together, you might think it's an apple. But and HIV is like that. Those tests are all based on things that are invisible, and the results are inferred in a sense. PCR is separate from that. It's just a process that's used to make a whole lot of something out of something. That's what
also,
it is. It doesn't tell you that you're sick, and it doesn't tell you that the thing you ended up with really was going to hurt you or anything like that. That's why it's not.
So even if you believe in HIV, it can't tell the difference between virus particles or active live virus. I mean, there's a lot of questions involved in this. Mm-hmm. Guys, thank you very, very much. I don't know what else I can say but to let you know that we will hold more events where people can get together.
That's only one part of an hour and 52-minute tape that I have of Carrie Mullis, the full interview can be heard on the other channels. And by the way, because we're not posting anything more in the short term on YouTube, because we might have our thousands upon thousands of videos erased from YouTube, and they're doing that all over, the tens of thousands of people. Anyone who dissents from the official view will get scrubbed. So we're going to give you the other channels, and I'm going to have my engineers in New York send me those, and we'll post them today on PRN.fm. So that's that. So I'm going to see who's on the line. And by the way, I want to thank Andina for sending us the information on that doctor. We have a lot of citizen journalists out there who are sending us stuff. Merrill Nass sent us a copy today saying there's a proposal to the European Commission for a digital green vaccine passport. You can't travel if you don't have the passport. And that was just issued a few hours ago, and it's going to be fast-tracked. So those of you who want to get out of Europe and travel, do so now. Those of you who intend to come to the United States, make your efforts, you know, as you can, depending upon your access to get into the country or whether or not you have a good visa agent, because if you don't get vaccinated, that's going to become an impossibility. And we knew this was going to come. Well, it's here. And we don't know when they'll try that in the United States, but there's a probability that they will at some point. Okay, our talkback number is 888-874-4888. Here are the sites that you can go to. If any time you go to YouTube and it's been erased, we have other sites. And we have Vimeo. V as in Victor, I-M-E-O, V-I-M-E-O.com. Odyssey, O-D-Y-S-E-E.com. Odyssey, O-D-Y-S-E-E.com. And brandnewtube.com. Brand, B-R-A-N-D, new, N-E-W, tube, T-U-B-E, all one word, brandnewtube.com. So you can go there and download those. Let me also mention that this coming Saturday is when I'm asking people to make every effort to attend the rally. In New York, the Worldwide Rally for Freedom will be, it's just one day. It's on the 20th, Union Square, 1 p.m., 14th and Broadway. I thought it was 5th Avenue, but it's actually 14th Street and Broadway. And I'll be doing a Zoom that will be broadcast live at 1 o'clock. But for those who are there, they can hear the audio part of it. And I'm going to deal with a lot of the issues that I believe people need to hear about at that time. So let's join together. And we've always had phenomenal turnouts. Last time we did Union Square, we had about 7,000 of you turn out when we were challenging at that time. We were challenging the banking system. Remember, Chris Hedges was there. We did a demonstration around Bank of America. But first we had the meeting there. We had a big turnout. So I am hopeful for a large turnout this Saturday, 1 p.m. at 14th Street and Broadway. And share that with people. Look, if you're not going to turn out now, if you're not going to support now, then all the stuff is happening. And then look out the window, because sooner or later, you're going to be impacted. I don't want to see that happen. By the way, we are offering a special today, I was just told. And it's something that took me a long time to perfect, because they said it couldn't be done. Our manufacturer, I gave them what I wanted. They said, nope, too many stuff, can't make it. And they tried, and they came back. We did test after test after test. It took months and months, over half a year. But then one day, a test sample came in, and it was really good. And I said, this has got it. So this is for all of you who want to wake up in the morning and have a super breakfast. So we call it superfood breakfast. Here's what's in it. And this is helping you on a very good level, because you're getting 9 grams of high-quality protein. You're getting 8 grams of fiber. You're getting no cholesterol, of course, but most importantly, all the phytonutrients, antioxidants in this cereal. And it's very easy to make. It comes in a wonderful bag. You get about, I don't know how many servings, 12 or so servings in one bag. And you're getting the steel-cut oatmeal, oat fiber, coconut oil. You're getting a brown rice protein, flaxseed protein, almond protein, coconut, bananas, green bananas, vanilla, blueberries, pomegranate. You're getting acai. You're also getting, let's see, what else do we have here? We have acerola berries, apples, bilberries, blueberries, cherries, cranberries, goji berries, grapes, grape seed extract, a grapefruit, and papaya. Let's see, pomegranate, prunes, raspberries, strawberries, watermelon, barley grass, apple, parsley, spinach, carrots, pineapple. Flavor, let's see, barley grass, collard greens, kale, asparagus, broccoli, sprouts, cauliflower, cabbage. You're getting all that. And the reason they had a hard time with the flavor is because the onion and the asparagus were very strong. And I wanted people to have a wonderful taste, similar to a mainly vanilla taste with a little almond. And that's what it tastes like. It's delicious. You get 12 servings per container. I carry it with me. So whenever I travel, all I do is take a bowl, put some warm water in it, put this in, stir it around. It takes about 3 or 4 minutes. It's ready to eat. So you talk about complete. That is as complete, the most comprehensive breakfast you could ever have, if that's what you want. But I'm adding something else. I'm giving you the dairy-free instant hot chocolate. Yeah, this has got the terrific ingredients in it. And so you're going to also get, with this shopping and cooking, healthy. And so you're going to enjoy that as well. So that's the package you're getting. And the package, let's just see here. Call this number, and you're getting 60% off. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Or if you order from Neil in our vitamin closet, 646-926-5430. 646-926-5430 for Neil. Otherwise, 877-627-5065. It's only going to cost you, this whole thing is costing you $37.97. Normally, it could be $94.93. You're saving $56.97 or 60% off. This is a great way to eat. Comes out to where the serving is, I think it's around $1.60 a serving. You can't go anywhere and get a breakfast for $1.60 plus everything else. Now, let's see if we have any callers. I don't see anyone calling in at this moment. So, Chris from New York. Your turn, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi, Gary. I just had to call in very quickly because I find this a very quick comment. I'm so glad that you're quoting Glenn Greenwald. I'd love the man. Anyway, I wanted to make a comment about this injecting. Any parent who would offer their child at 6 months to get an exploratory vaccine. Because I saw that this morning, I think, on the little, the BBC where they have the little crawlers at the bottom, and I was stunned, and I thought, what parent would do that? That, in and of itself, is, I don't have this word in my lexicon because it's dramatic. It borders on the satanic. I was reading an article a couple of days ago about the sex education in schools. We're not talking about teenagers now and after puberty. We're talking about 8 and 11-year-olds that they're actually teaching them and indoctrinating them regarding prepubescent hormone blockers. In other words, they're interfering with the organic process of their lives. Any child, so you have an 8-year-old who says, I'm a girl today and a boy tomorrow, so what? Children do that because that's what they do. You know, I mean, they're sexual, but they're not sexual in the way that we become when we're adults. And this idea that it's even discussed at some sort of intellectual level is the most intellectually dishonest and asphyxiating thing that could possibly happen. And I think that, you know, just anybody listening to this, I have a grown son, okay? I don't have children, you know, babies anymore. But when children, but people are born, I mean, you have to allow for the organic process to take place. The idea that you would think of injecting an experimental vaccine in a 6-month-old child, why is that even discussed? You know, it just, I mean, they're just bombing any kind
okay.
of...
Chris, hold your thought for a moment and pull back. Let's break this into its understandable components. You're asking people to look at what's happening with education. As I mentioned on yesterday's program, and no one addressed that issue, was they now want to ban the words mom, dad, mother, father, brother, sister, girlfriend, boyfriend. For all generations except this current one, those are terms we live with. If someone had a different orientation, that's fine. That's what it is. But now they're trying to first go to the step of not allowing us to use a word and then shaming us if we do, and then they want punishment. It's just like that legislator who said anyone who voted for Trump should be attacked and they should be given no advantages on anything. Well, I didn't vote for Trump. I wouldn't vote for Trump. I wouldn't vote for any of these people because they don't meet my standards of ethics and populist concerns. As a result, if you lose an election, you lose it. Whether there was fraud or not, that will ultimately be determined at some point in the future. But for right now, when you win, you control everything. But it's not good enough to win today. You can't just control something. You have to be able to punish anyone who challenges that control. And that's what is happening now. So the very person that wants to, family is no longer considered important. In fact, it's considered a detriment. So there's a whole movement to destroy the notion of family. And to destroy family, you have to destroy the significance of parents. You have just to make them, you know, objects. Nothing that was maternal. And whatever you want to do, you can do it because you have the support of these elitists. Now, when you look at where these notions are coming from, they're frequently coming from, well, this one was, it was a $67,000 a year tuition for a school, not a college, not a university. Who can afford to put a child in there? A very wealthy parent, more often than not a professional class. What group are some of the worst parents in the world? The professional class, in part because they choose not to put the time into being with the child to see what that child's learning and guide them through a process, guide them with what we were guided with, consequences of cause and effect. You're not to act out. You're not to be rude. You're not to be crude. You're not to be vulgar. You're not to be violent. Because you're an extension of this family. Our family is an extension of our community. Our community is an extension of the larger cultural community or ethnic community. And therefore, we have to show the world that we're decent people. Character matters. Honesty matters. Merit matters. But what if it doesn't today because it's about you alone, how much you can earn, what you can buy, what you can show the world is your significant position in this hierarchical scheme, and your child is influenced by this. They don't see the real world. They're not playing with kids who are coming from, you know, having gone to bed that night with no food. They're coming from everything is entitled. Let me tell you, I know this very well because I was head of addiction control for decades at Trafalgar Hospital, and right now, even last night, I was counseling a 30-year-old who is one of the most spoiled, petulant individuals imaginable because he grew up in a bubble. He grew up entitled. He thought to everything. And now he's trying to find a way out of that, and that's why I'm helping him. But if you only knew how their mind thinks, then you would understand why first they change the words we can use, then they weaponize words we would normally use. So making a statement that is an innocent, honest, and accurate statement now becomes something to be punished and shamed for, because they're not satisfied with just having us change the idea that the family does not matter and should not. It is destructive. But now they want to punish, and they do this by indoctrinating our children. But I've been a teacher in the educational system for 45 years. I've taught thousands and thousands of students. It's only when all the teachers band together and say, this is garbage, this is stupid, this is vile, let us erase the cancer culture, let us cancel them out, give them no power. If they want to just be spoiled, petulant, dysfunctional, intellectually, you know, decrepit people, they can do that. That's their right. You want to think only ways that are harmful to people and never contribute anything constructive to society? You have a right to do that. But we have a right to push back. We have a right to say, not in my life. I'm not changing a damn thing for you. Stand up. Have the courage to speak out. And there's about 100 million people who are about ready to speak out. My hope is that they do so in intelligent and nonviolent ways. But boy, when you make laws and you take away people's rights, there's only so far you can push a human being before they push back. And we're at the pushback level now. So thank you for calling in, Chris, and sharing your point of view. I appreciate it. And you are right. As long as the teachers and their unions abrogate their responsibility and do not hold together and say, we will not teach this way, we will not conduct this kind of indoctrination, it'll continue until one day it'll be considered normal. We're out of time, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.